Well, good morning. And just looking first at the economics, which has almost become the easier part of what's happening around the world. When we're looking at what's occurring in the United States, you know, we've got some pulling back in the pace of economic growth, but it's still positive economic growth. It's still consistent with a soft landing in the economy. And so when we're looking at the figures that came out last week, you know, you had things like June retail sales came out. Yes, they were flat for the month, but that was better than expected. You know, the market was looking for minus 0.3% month on month, and the previous month was actually revised up from 0.1% to 0.3%. Core retail sales were actually reasonably firm. So core retail sales were expected to be up 0.1%, or up 0.4%. So you've still got a pulse running through spending there, household spending, as far as the US is concerned. We also had some housing data, and the July National Association of Home Builders Index still pretty soft. That one actually went down one notch from 43 to 42. So, you know, obviously there's a little bit of concern there running amongst home builders. But having said that, the most recent June building permits and housing starts were both on the firmer side of expectations. Now, that was after falls going back the previous month. But, for example, building permits for the month of June were expected to be down 0.6%. They rose by 3.4%, and that was after a 2.8% decline going back the month before. And the housing starts were expected to be up 2.6% after a revised 4.6% fall the month before. And actually rose by 3%, so a bit better than expected. So, you know, those were looking a little bit firmer. And we had some leading indicators out of different districts on the eastern seaboard. So, for example, we had the Empire State Survey for New York. That was about the same as it was the month before, minus 6 the month before, came in at minus 6.6 on that diffusion index for the month of July. The Philadelphia Fed Survey, though, further down the coast, was actually rather stronger. And in July, that lifted to plus 13.9 from plus 1.3 going back the month before. And also a figure at the end of, towards the end of the week, which, you know, got markets excited that, you know, the Fed's still on course to think about an interest rate cut. You know, still the thinking about the interest rate cut is more the September meeting than the one that will be held right at the end of this month. But we had initial jobless claims for the most recent week. And they lifted to 243,000 from 223,000 the month before. So that's indicative that, you know, we're still perhaps going to get the slightly softer trend again running through non-farm payrolls. Non-farm payrolls have still been moving along at 200,000 a month. So it's still really on the tight side of where the Fed needs to think about starting to ease. But there's a chance that they might come in lower than that when we see the figures early next month. This week in the US, and we've got more housing data coming out on Tuesday, and that's existing home sales. In June, you know, these are expected to be quite soft, probably down 2.7% after being down 0.7% the month before. Coming up Thursday, we've got the first reading of Q2 GDP. Now, if anything, Q2 GDP is going to be a little bit firmer than it was in Q1. In Q1, annualized GDP growth for the US was 1.4%. If you're looking at quarter on quarter, that means it's around 0.3, 0.4% quarter on quarter. Looking for that to be 2% annualized, the market thinks, for the advanced reading of GDP. So, you know, that's where, you know, sort of the US is experiencing a soft landing. You know, it's had softening in growth, but it hasn't got down anywhere near recession territory. You know, we're still looking at positive quarterly GDP growth rates, particularly for this advanced reading when it comes out on Thursday. We'll get June new home sales the day before that, and new home sales, you know, hoping to see just a little bit of a lift running through that, up 3.4% after being down 11.3% the month before. And another reading which will be important towards the end of the week is the alternative inflation reading. You know, inflation in the US has been on a little bit of a roller coaster through this calendar year so far. you know, the first 3 months we were getting numbers which were high side of expectations and a rising inflation rate. Last few months that started to come back the other way, and you know, the CPI at least has been heading back towards 3%. We get the core personal consumption expenditure deflator for the month of June comes out on Friday. And this one was at 2.6% year-on-year, going back last month, so you know, certainly getting in the right direction as far as the Fed's concerned. It's expected to be around that level again, 2.5, 2.6, when it comes out on Friday. But yeah, that's a number which can get the market sort of you know, fairly comfortable again. And we also get personal income, personal spending data comes out for the month of June, and both of those look reasonably firm. Personal income looks as up another 0.4% after being up 0.5% the month before, and personal spending up 0.3% after being up 0.2% the month before. Yeah, we're also getting towards company reporting again for many of the big tech companies, and you know, that's going to be important for markets too. You know, given particularly, you know, the huge outage we had for tech going back late last week, which obviously was a bit of a dent to confidence in what can be achieved in this new world of AI. It was a wake-up call in many ways. And the other thing we're watching, of course, in the US, are the politics. The election's still over 3 months away, but you know, it's just a soap opera from week to week. And you know, obviously the latest news is that Joe Biden has stepped down in the race. He's still president, not just to November, but through to Inauguration Day in January next year. And he doesn't appear to be stepping down from that. And obviously that's going to be a focal point as far as the Republicans are concerned. And yeah, we run towards the Democrats' convention. You know, we've had the hoopla around the Republican convention where, you know, clearly Donald Trump's their man. But we're not sure whether Kamala Harris is the woman for the Democrats. She's certainly the one that Joe Biden would like to see walk straight in, but you know, there's an issue that the convention might choose somebody else. So you know, we've got some volatility running through the politics of this in the United States as well, which you know, is always a little bit unsettling as far as markets are concerned. More so for risk assets, if anything, you know, it allows the bond market just to for yields perhaps to edge down a little, but not much. Moving to other areas, and China last week, more sort of disappointing data out of China right at the beginning of last week. We had their second quarter GDP growth rate came out. It was softer than expected, 0.7% quarter on quarter. The market was looking for 1.1% there. As a result of that, the annual GDP growth rate has come down to 4.7% from 5.3%. Yeah, if we're going to be hovering sub 1 for quarterly GDP growth rates over coming quarters, we're going to be heading well down through the 4s, perhaps into the high 3s, which would be very low growth rate for China as we go into the later part of the year, the way that that's tracking. And the monthly data suggests that things are still pretty weak. You know, we had June industrial production that came down to 5.3% year-on-year from 5.6% going back the month before. June fixed asset investment spending was 3.9%, down from 4%. And June retail sales, and you know, this is the one that's really got to do some motoring to lift Chinese growth. Still, households in China saying, look, yeah, we obey you, the government, in what you say, but we can vote against you by not spending. And we prefer to save because you're making our future so uncertain. And so that's what's coming through in retail sales. And retail sales growth actually decelerated to only 2% year-on-year from 3.7%. Realistically, for China to have any sort of decent growth rate above 5%, you need annual retail sales growth north of 8%. not down at 2, and so they're nowhere near that. And you know, and one of the reasons for that too is what's still happening through the property sector. It's a long, slow grind to help the property sector. And the latest house prices came out for China, and it worsened from minus 3.9% year-on-year to minus 4.5% year-on-year. So house prices continuing to go down, and probably at a faster pace than the official figures show as well. So yeah, that's obviously another weakening factor as far as households are concerned there. So still this softness running through China, where their only hope is to get some boost through exports. And yeah, they've got one or two things up their sleeve there with automobile manufacturing, particularly electric cars. But having said that, they're increasingly getting locked out of some of their key markets like Europe and the US, where they're imposing much heavier tariffs on those. So they're reliant on a small market like us, where they're probably going to dump stuff in our market. Yeah, that is the problem that China's facing at the moment. And in Australia last week, every bit of data now we're watching for what it might mean running into the RBA meeting that comes up on the 7th of August. The latest data we got was there's still a quite tight labour market. We had employment growth, which was a lot stronger than expected in June. It was up 50,200. The market was looking for 20,000, and that follows a 39,500 lift the month before. We also had a bit of a lift in the participation rate to 66.9% from 66.8%. So that lift in participation actually part countered that lift in employment, and the unemployment rate just edged up very slightly. It was very close on rounding to 4.1% last month. The actual official figure was 4.0. It just went over that rounding and ticked up to 4.1% for the unemployment rate. So the unemployment rate is edging slightly higher, and it's probably one of the factors which, just regardless of what the CPI shows when it comes out next week, may just restrain the Reserve Bank from thinking about a rate hike. I think the bar is pretty high for the Reserve Bank to lift interest rates further, because there are some signs in one or two bits of the economy that things are running quite slowly. And so that will certainly be a restraining issue. We don't have much in Australia this week, nothing really of note. So, the big week is going to be not this week, but next week, when we get the CPIs, both the quarterly CPI and also the monthly CPI for June. So, that's the very last day of July on Wednesday, the 31st of July. There's some home building approvals, retail sales figures before that, which may have some influence, but that's next week. It's not this week. Moving to Europe. And, it was interesting. We had the ECB meeting there last week. And, they left their cash rate 3.75%. Remembering that going back to their last meeting, they brought it down by a quarter. And this is indicative of the very limited capacity that most central banks have to lower interest rates in the foreseeable future. The ECB is facing an economy which is a little bit softer, although it's had some boost from tourism and through the services sector. We've had a little bit of a flip in demand running through Europe of late. And it's still making things very, very tricky for the ECB. One of the areas where it's tricky is that wage settlements are still very high, running through Europe, over 5% in a place like Germany. And, that's really a constraining factor in terms of how much the ECB can get interest rates down, even though it's worried about the pace of economic activity. So just one of those signs that even in areas where interest rates start to come down, it's going to be a very different interest rate cutting cycle to what we've seen in the past. And I don't think the markets are really taking that into account. There's always this assumption that once central banks get going, every meeting they keep dropping interest rates, and they may not be able to drop them far. Well, you know, this could be a very, very stop-go affair when we get into the easing cycle in those few places where they can start to cut rates. And for us, it's just a warning sign. As the RBA governor warned last week, that, you know, interest rates are just set at these levels for a very, very, very long time to come. So, you know, just watching these factors as we go through, I think you know, just some of the non-economic concerns may just limit just activity and risk assets through the course of this week.